Welcome to the Fanboy Factor podcast. I am your friendly neighborhood J-Man. With me is our resident comic book historian, Brian Isaacs. Brian, how's it going, man?
Doing good, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So, what's been going on this week? What do you got going on?
Well, those two premieres I was supposed to do, thank you for the lovely winter weather. Screwed that up, so unfortunately I had to bow out of both of them.
You gotta love the winter, man.
Screw me up, not just once, twice.
Twice. And you were really looking forward to going, too.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like interviewing these people, you know, the red carpet and stuff. And
you didn't say anything to your son, did you?
No.
Good, that was smart.
If I did, well, he's 2.5. I
yeah, still.
He would have forgotten it anyhow, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Ended up buying him some Octonauts and he was happy.
Yeah. That show's pretty funny, actually. It's clever.
Yeah, it's a cute show, you know. It's educational, it's action-packed, it's, you know, singing and dancing, you know. It works.
It's got multi-accents.
Multi-accents, yes. And I also introduced him. He actually watched his first Batman 66 episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And? Did he dig it?
He kind of dug it. It was the episode with the Green Hornet.
Okay. Oh.
And that's my favorite episode because it's just, I just love seeing Kato kick the crap out of Robin in that. And the backstory behind that, Burt Ward's ego was getting really big, and, you know, pretty much Bruce Lee said he was going to kill him.
Did he really think that he was going to beat Bruce Lee?
I guess so.
Oh my god, please.
He got so scared. He was really scared on the day of shooting that set.
That's pretty funny.
Oh god. Bloody dug it.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
Not much, man. I'm just, I'm prepping for Toy Fair. It's coming up, man. We're scheduled for everybody, right?
Yeah, we pretty much got everyone we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we
some stragglers still out there.
Some stragglers still out there.
Well, like you said, when MTV comes knocking at the door.
Fuck you, MTV geek.
Well, since we're talking about it, right before we got on, you mentioned Scooby-Doo and how they premiered Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Lego has now got the Scooby-Doo license. And what was really interesting is that Variety broke one of the bigger sets.
Yeah.
Like they announced that, you know, they had the theme, and when they announced the theme, they showed one of the sets, which was the Mystery Machine.
Right.
So this weekend is the London Toy Fair.
Yes.
So all this happens while London Toy Fair goes on. And then after they announce that they are doing the Scooby-Doo sets and they show the Mystery Machine set, Variety breaks one of the biggest sets out there, or one of the biggest sets coming out. It's like Mystery Mansion.
Yeah.
But it's Variety. It's Variety.
It's Variety.
Like, isn't Variety, like, not that there's anything wrong with, you know how I feel about Lego. Not that there's anything wrong with Lego, but isn't Variety, like, serious Hollywood business?
Yeah, that's, you know, I usually get the news and television stuff from them, not toy stuff.
Toy stuff? I don't know, kind of weird.
Quite honestly, I don't understand the big deal about this license. It's, you know, I hate Scooby-Doo.
Not a big fan myself. And maybe it's, I don't know, 20 years ago? 30 years ago?
30 years ago, yeah. And, you know, it's just like, I watched the episode. Did you think at, like, one time they'd say, you know, just once, maybe it's a guy in a mask, not a real monster?
But aren't they real monsters now?
I don't know. I don't follow it. I just can't. I can't. I know there's so many friends who love it, and I never liked it back then.
Do they have a new show coming out?
Who knows?
Probably do. That's got to be what it is.
It's one of these things that just won't go away. Yeah. Just stay dead.
I'm with you, man.
Two stoners.
Yep.
The bookworm and a horny couple.
Yep.
Awesome.
Well, on to more pressing matters.
Yes.
Two best shows on TV came back this week.
Yeah, hard and heavy.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's go in order.
All right. So, Flash.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a very good show. I enjoyed it.
I thought the villains were a little over the top.
A little bit.
But I still, you know, it's Nick Rory's obsession with the flame was you know, right out of the comics.
Yeah. He was more over the top than Captain Cold was.
Yeah. Captain Cold was cold. It was, you know, very cold and calculating.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah.
Crossing the streams. Nice.
I know what's funny. I was just about to say that was so stupid.
But that actually did happen.
Right, I know, but it was just, I don't know.
Well, I'm glad they did make the reference that it was Ghostbusters.
Yes, they did. I like that too, that they did, but it was still silly.
Yeah, it was. But, you know, it really got me thinking, just like, you know, how many of the Flash's original villains really didn't have any powers.
I guess not many of them did.
They were all, like, gadgets and stuff.
What did you think about What's-His-Face saving him?
Eddie?
Yes.
I thought it was, I liked it.
Yeah?
And it's now, he's out of, I love the fact that the Flash is out of the shadows now.
Yeah, I do too.
It's all out there now.
Yeah.
And we're going to, I hopefully we'll see Barry as, you know, I'm hoping not this season, but, you know, the Flash Museum, mm-hmm. him running along, people saying, hey, how you doing? You know, what we're kind of used to being a very public hero.
And maybe it'll bring him out, too, out of his whatever.
Shell, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, in the history of TV, we really haven't seen a public hero.
Yeah.
Since Batman 66.
You're right, because since then, they've all been, it's that whole thought process that they have to be in the shadows.
Yeah, they have to, you know, the urban legend, and that's what I couldn't stand about the original Flash series back in the 80s, was just like, you know, and, you know, of course, you know, they did that same shit in Smallville, too, this, you know, urban legend crap.
Right.
And
they don't have to know that he's Barry.
No.
It's the Flash.
No, just, yeah, they know him as the Flash, and I'm like, you know, the police department's 100% behind him, it seems like, and I'm really, it's just like, okay, cool, I love this.
Yeah. What do you think about him moving back in with Joe?
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it was all right. It was funny.
Yeah, I don't feel either way about it, you know, it is what it is.
He's a good father figure for him.
Yeah, the Wells thing is just, there wasn't too much development with Wells this week.
No, but there's something up there, you know?
Well, you know, when it was going up against that rocket, you started to see Wells starting to get out of the chair.
Yeah. Yes.
And then the entire Firestorm conspiracy. I like how they made the name Firestorm anagram.
Yeah, that was good, too.
And the introduction of Jason Rush.
Yes, that was cool.
So
I was watching it with my son, and he doesn't know who Firestorm is. And Jason comes on, I'm like, oh my god, that's Jason Rush! Like, who's that? Like, oh, you know what? Never mind. Forget I said anything.
Yeah,
we'll see in a couple weeks.
Reference to Professor Stein. It was just all around. It was a great episode.
Set up. And then we got back with Ray Palmer in the suit. And I don't like what's going on with him and Felicity now. She's, look. Oh, wait, I'm on the wrong show.
You're on the wrong show.
I'm on Arrow. I jumped ahead. Sorry about that.
No problem.
All right, well, so we might as well talk about it then.
You know, first off,
I
can't say I'm shocked about who saved him. Who saved...
I think who... We're not talking... We're talking spoilers, aren't we?
Yeah.
Everybody's seen it. I mean, there was no other way. Right before the show went on, people have been speculating whether the Lazarus Pit was going to be involved or not, and he said it wasn't. Like, right before the show started.
Yeah.
So... Then who's going to save him? Somebody said, you know, maybe it was going to be Merlin. He was going to do something.
Yeah.
But it had to be that guy, which is, his name's escaping me at the moment.
Yeah, he's, you know, Katana's husband. That's
the name I can
think of him for right now.
Yeah.
And it's, honestly, it's just like, I saw that. I was kind of hoping, you know, it really reminded me of Denny O'Neill's run on The Question. So it's kind of, personally, I was kind of hoping, you know, maybe the Richard Dragon, but, you know, whatever. I can't say I'm really shocked. You know, we find out that Katana didn't die.
Yeah.
Or maybe she did die.
We'll find out.
Yeah, but.
It's still her future. Past whatever is still in question at the moment.
Yeah, but then the main episode in general, Jesus, what fucking taking a step up.
First of all, he was awesome.
He was.
What's Merlin's, what's his story, man? Is he egging them on, the three of them on?
I can't tell. I don't know what his bag is.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't figure out what he was, what his deal was. Showing up in the Arrow Cave twice.
Yeah.
You know, unannounced.
Unannounced, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just walking in. So.
How unprotected is this fucking Arrow Cave?
Yeah. But yeah, getting back to what you said, he definitely stepped up and he was awesome.
Yeah.
It was also funny, Diggle as Arrow, and then him just giving up on Arrow.
It was just like, you know, it's like Roy giving him shit and he's just like, if it was a Glock, I could have hit them
in yeah.
the
shot. It was sad how it was left with Felicity leaving.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
She'll be back.
She'll be back. And then, you know, they're without a leader right now.
Yeah.
And it's funny because Diggle definitely could lead that crew. But like he said, he's used to protecting. He's really Ollie's bodyguard.
Right.
So he's not really a leader, but whatever.
But still, it was a great episode. I mean, we finally got to see Laurel in the costume.
Yes, that was cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was real cool.
You know, we saw Donnie Brickwell, a.k.a. Brick.
Yes.
Which I'm trying to figure out the entire shooting thing. Is he invulnerable, or did I miss something?
I don't know. He shot him in the head. Did he not shoot him in the head?
He shot him, but I don't know if he missed, or...
I think there was a hole in his head when he shot him. I'm pretty sure there was. So I don't know what his deal is.
But, you know, he was a good villain.
Yeah, and he's not going anywhere either. He'll be back.
No, he'll definitely be around for a little while.
What else? Oh, and I'm like the Flash coming out of the closet, the proverbial closet. I want them to call him Arsenal. You know, like when he was bouncing around, didn't they ask him what his name was at one point? Like his name's call him Arsenal.
I guess I'll get to it.
And again, I'm with my son, and I'm like, it's Arsenal. He's like, who? I'm like, never mind. You got so much history. You know what? I'm going to put you in contact with Brian. I'll explain it to you all.
That was a strong comeback. That really was.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens next.
How long do you think that they go like this? I hope they go. Honestly, I would like for them to go maybe the rest of the season.
Unfortunately, I just read the CW just sent me for... the week.
Yeah, and?
Not next week, but the second week of February is when he comes back.
Oh, that's too soon, man.
I know. But I think I read somewhere it was only three episodes anyhow.
Ugh, God. It'd be awesome if it made it like the rest of the season. Yeah, it's not my show.
Yeah.
What do I know? He is the main character.
He is the main character, though.
So, and then what happens with Diggle? You think in the next two episodes it's just going to become Arsenal show with Diggle as his backup?
Diggle needs a costume or a mask.
I'm telling you, he needs something.
He needs something. Because, you know, the fact that nobody recognizes him is just like, really? You know, we'll see what happens.
And then how about Felicity shutting them down right when the man was escaping? Pissed, man. Oh, that's what I was saying. I like Felicity. And I get where she's coming from. But the whole thing, you know what? Let Ray make the suit. Don't give him a hard time. He's the Atom. Come on. I like his desk, though, with his computer, his screen on that lazy Susan. He's swinging it around. I'm like, I need one of those.
I can't wait to see what this battle suit looks like.
Yeah.
And
they're really not showing much.
No.
You know?
They're really keeping it piece by piece.
And that scene reminded me just a little bit too much of Iron Man when he was testing the gauntlet.
Yeah.
But whatever. I don't care.
But, you know, it definitely does look like he did have the red triangle on the front of his chest. So.
Yeah.
I think it will be recognizable as an Atom suit.
Yeah.
But, you know, like we talked about last week, there is a possibility of him getting his own spinoff, so maybe we'll see the shrinking then.
Any more on that? Did you hear anything this week about it?
No, I heard nothing.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And the big news is just, you know, with Arrow just returning and how well it would do.
And you know, the other thing that they're really dragging out, going back to Flash and Firestorm, they're really dragging that out, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's not like he's turning up one day. They're really laying the groundwork for, you know, him and his, you know, I guess his eventual appearance.
But I'm not too sure how I feel about this entire conspiracy thing with the Firestorm.
What do you mean?
Like, Jason was just like, I can't talk about this.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, right, because he had the conversation with What's-Her-Face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess it adds intrigue. I'm just curious how the three of them are going to work as Firestorm.
I don't know. You know, we'll definitely be finding out soon.
Yeah. And then we saw, I think it was maybe last week, we were talking about the costume or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I hope they update that, too. They give him some sort of, I like the symbol, whatever it is, but I hope they give him more of a containment suit, not soup.
Well, that thing, you know, the design on front does kind of look like some kind of mechanical thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it could be like some kind of regulator or something.
It should be interesting.
Yeah. Hey, I'm in it for the long haul.
Yeah, like what are we going to do, bail on it now?
God, it's so good.
Kind of like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, God.
We got some time for that one.
Yeah.
That won't be coming back anytime soon. We got a couple weeks.
No, we still got a couple weeks.
We got, what, like 4 more episodes of Agent Carter?
I think so.
Yeah, which wasn't on last week.
Our president was speaking.
Is that on at 9 o'clock, right?
No, it's on at 8 o'clock.
See, I thought it was on at 9, and
maybe it's not a thing.
My son Jake came up. He's like, "What are we gonna watch?" I'm like, "We're watching Flash." there's no choice there. Flash. Like I gotta pick Agent Carter. Look, I like Agent Carter and all, but it's Flash, man. Speaking of DC and what's been going on, all that crap. Did you hear about Jake Gyllenhaal passing on Suicide Squad?
Yes, I did.
What's the story?
He was just not interested in the part.
He's not?
Yeah.
Is that what he... Did he actually say that?
He just doesn't have an interest.
Huh, interesting. It seems like everybody wants to be in a comic book movie anymore, except for Jake Gyllenhaal. Or maybe it's because it's somebody else's vehicle.
You know, it could be the fact that it's just such a huge ensemble cast and too many, you know, you're talking about going up against Will Smith here.
Yeah.
So I think that could, like, turn a lot of people off.
Well, Will Smith and Jared Leto.
Yeah. At least Jared Leto is a good actor.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like you keep saying, I'm not feeling these movies.
There's too many unknown factors in it, and it none of it makes sense. Unfortunately, that's not the only problem we've got in, you know, the DC universe.
What else?
Oh, God. It's fucking Gotham. Fucking Gotham.
You know, let me tell you something. I have been pro-Gotham all this time. You not so much, but on this point that you're about to raise, I think it's a little too much.
Introducing, towards the end of the season, fucking Red Hood.
Now, nobody knows how this is going to play out yet, or they're not saying.
No, but there was one, you know, if you read the Killing Joke, when the two thugs got the comedian to wear the hood.
Yes.
They made it seem it was a thing that was passed on to several different people.
Yes.
So I understand, you know, maybe he's taking that, but still, stop pushing this shit through.
See, and then the other thing is, in Snyder and Capullo's run, I think it was, I don't know if it's Batman Zero or whatever it was, Red Hood Gang is just a bunch of anonymous, supposedly, unless the Joker is leader, which never really comes out, They're just anonymous hoods.
Right.
But the point is, it's too soon.
It is.
You know, like, he's still, Bruce Wayne is still a fucking kid. He's not like, he's 20, and in 2 years, he's gonna decide to be Batman. And that's when the hood starts, the Red Hood starts.
See, I'm starting to look past that.
Okay.
Because it is a different universe, but I'm still having the same problem with it's too much, too fast. They're shoehorning all this fucking.
Why though?
It's, oh my god! And this last week's episode
Well, I didn't see it, but you can tell me about it. What happened?
We got the introduction of the Electrocutioner.
Okay.
And
you said it was, I'm not surprised. You said it was, the resolution was a little weak.
Oh my god. It was pretty much, he's wearing, you know, the Electrocutioner pretty much is trying to kill, is it Zuko?
Yeah.
No, not Zuko.
Who?
Maroni.
Yeah.
He's trying to kill Maroni. Maroni's holed up in the police station. Somehow the Electrocutioner manages to electrocute everybody in the friggin' police station. Except, of course, Gordon. He's wearing rubber galoshes.
What's he doing there? What's he doing in the police station?
Reinstated.
After one episode?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Was it Bullock out of reinstated?
No, it was just...
okay, whatever.
Yeah, Gordon, you know. Okay. He found out who plays Commissioner Loeb. God. One of the bosom buddies, and it ain't Tom Hanks.
Oh, no kidding.
Scolari.
No kidding.
I joke you not. I was watching. I was like, is that fucking Scolari?
No kidding. How about that?
And he's horrible at it.
Is he really?
It's just, this show's god awful.
Okay.
So, he goes in there, and, you know, everybody's unconscious, except Gordon, the Electrocutioner, and his thug, Alma Gallagher.
Okay.
Gordon manages to take down the thug.
Okay.
And it's him, and he's facing off against the Electrocutioner. And the Electrocutioner has, you know, the electronics are on his chest.
Okay.
About to fry him, and Gordon takes a glass of water and splashes him with it.
Oh, jeez.
And all it does is the pack shorts out.
It's just going to say it shorts out.
That's it. Nothing.
No explosion.
No explosion. No, you know, you don't see him get fried. No, it was like, and he's just like,
and that's
the electrocutioner's just looking like, oh, crap. And that's it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Shit. That's when I wrote it so fucking edgy, climatic. Because it was just like, oh my god. Yeah, maybe, you know, him being electrocuted would have been predictable.
Yeah.
But still, it would have been more entertaining than what went down.
Well, so then what? That was the end of it?
There's some other shit that went on that I just half paid attention to, and was just like, but that was the main thing, and I was just like, are you kidding me?
Was Barbara in it? They got rid of her, right?
Barbara was back.
Oh, god.
Went to her parents, and I don't understand their relationship.
Oh, jeez. Was she talking to Gordon?
No, not yet.
Not yet, okay. Well, that to drag it out.
Yeah, she moved in with her parents, and her parents, like, kind of refused to acknowledge. I don't understand what the fuck's going on there, and I don't care.
Okay.
But, you know, it's just, stop adding the characters. And, you know, it was also announced that we finally have our Supergirl.
Oh, yeah, who was that?
Melissa Benonist.
Is it me, or is that, like, out of left field?
Oh, that was really out of left field. Out of the five contenders they were talking about?
I mean, was her name even mentioned?
I know, they were all blondes.
Right?
And this is some... I'm not insulting or anything because, you know, anybody can dye their hair and stuff, blah, blah, yeah. Blah. Or, you know, just they could put a wig on her because, you know, in her secret identity as what? Linda Lee or Linda Danvers they're going for, right?
Yes, yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, it was Linda's a brunette.
Yes.
So, you know, they could always do, you know, when she does the Supergirl, she can have a blonde wig, whatever. Okay, yeah, fine. But she really came out of left field. I'm not familiar with her work at all.
She was on Glee, right?
She was on Glee. I don't watch Glee. Yeah. I find Glee painful.
Yes, agreed. Yeah. I mean, she looks... I saw a picture where she had blondish hair. And some of the pictures, she looks like she could play the part. Yeah, I mean, at least look the part. And some of the other pictures, not so much.
She's kind of got that innocent look.
Yeah.
But like
she looks kind of young. I mean, isn't she supposed to be in her 20s?
Yeah, but, you know, who knows what that'll look like on TV.
Yeah, that's a good point. A good point.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I really can't... Yeah, other than the fact that I just didn't... You know, she came out of left field. I was just like,
out of nowhere, yeah.
She's like, who?
It wasn't like her name was mentioned, and then, like, 3 days later, they say, oh, yeah, nah, she's our new Supergirl.
Yeah.
It was literally out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was just... I don't know where they came up with her.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, I don't have a problem with her. It was just like, where the hell did she come from?
Yeah, interesting.
I'm like, give her a chance. You know, I still live, you know, wondering how they're going to get around the Superman issue. Because it's just like, they're still
saying that she's... Brian, you know how they're going to get around it.
Yeah, I know.
My cousin. You know that guy who hangs up in Metropolis? My cousin.
Yeah. The guy who killed Zod.
Oh. Listen, people are still tender about that. Let's not bring this up.
Oh, God.
Hey, can we go a little bit off topic?
Yeah.
Did you see Gone Girl?
Yes.
What'd you think of that? It's not really off topic because it's Batman's in it. Did you like it?
I thought it was fucked up.
It was, man. It was messed up. And the reason I really bring it up is because Batman is in it. And I'll tell you what, he looks pretty big, man.
Yeah.
He must have been working out while, you know, for Batman while that movie was filming, because he's pretty big.
Everyone already said, you know, I by the time I was just like, okay, everyone already thought you killed her. I just say snuff the bitch.
Yeah. Absolutely. You should have just walked. I said, you should have just walked away. Because of your kid? Yeah, I'm out of here. Whatever. I'll see my kid on the weekends.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whatever.
Fucked up movie.
Anyway, I saw it over the weekend, and like I said, he's in it, and he looks big, and I was like, I don't have a problem with him being Batman at all.
Hey, I never insulted him being Batman. I have a problem with the fact that Batman's older.
Yeah. And still, man, I don't... With this freaking movie, man, they are, I hear references to all these different stories. It's like they're taking every major story and cramming it into this movie. Cramming it into this movie.
It's a mess.
Yes, it is. But we still don't know what that costume really looks like, do we?
No.
What are they waiting for, Brian?
I don't know. No, it's just, we haven't seen a trailer. We haven't seen anything.
No. You know when they should put a trailer on? Super Bowl.
Won't happen.
The trailer up.
Won't happen.
But they won't happen. You're right. You want to talk a little comics?
Let's.
So, you got... You really can talk about it at the same time. You got Convergence, and then you got Marvel's Crisis on Infinite Earths.
God.
It's not really Infinite Earths, though. And between the two of them, before we even delve into what's going on, I like what DC's doing, potentially doing, way more than what Marvel's doing.
Yeah, can I just say something about their announcement about that over at
Comics? Talk about it.
First off, as always, I just want to punch Tom Beaufort.
Who do you want to punch more, him or Dan Dito?
Dito I'm starting to tolerate.
Okay, go ahead.
Second off, what the fuck? You have this announcement and you don't have the fucking writer there?
I don't know. What's the deal?
I'm listening, trying to listen to this horseshit. It's just like, pretty much they're going to destroy the entire Marvel Universe and take bits and pieces of all the different multiverse and make one new Earth.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, right? Which, by the way...
30th anniversary.
You were calling it, you were calling this whole Secret Wars thing Crisis on Infinite Earths before I called it. So I'm just saying, I'll send you a quarter for using your idea.
Thank you. 30th anniversary of the Crisis, and you know,
I don't have a problem with it. It is, at least they're being honest to what they're doing, not like what DC did with New 52, but what is DC doing with this convergence thing, or potentially doing?
It does seem like Dido is trying to open up everything to...
All possibilities, it looks like, it sounds like.
All possibilities. And it's funny, because Multi-University was supposed to tie into it, and now I'm hearing it's not.
Yeah, and that... From that interview they did, he was saying that they're kind of shoehorning it in.
Which says, again, a lot about Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
If you're still following his shit, then you're a fucking moron.
But the point is, you don't need to follow it.
No.
Yeah. And it's funny because earlier you were sort of led to believe that it was an important part of, or they were implying that it could be an important part of then convergence, but maybe not so much now.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it was just to get people to buy Multiversity books. So I guess from what I took out of this interview that he did, it was with Newsarama.
Right.
Was that they are, whereas Marvel is taking bits and pieces like DC did with Crisis on Infinite Earths,
mm-hmm.
and smashing it all together, making a new universe, they are going to DC. My impression is they're going to leave it all open. So, like, it seems like if they want to tell a story with Superman with red trunks on, they're going to tell a story with Superman with red trunks on.
I still say it's kind of their apology.
Yeah. And then if they want to tell a story about Batman with the yellow emblem, they're going to tell a story, you know, I mean, I don't know if they're going to put him on a different Earth or whatever, but it sounds like they're really leaving it open.
Yeah.
Which, why not? I mean, it makes sense.
It sounds like, you know, we're getting the Justice Society back, both versions, the Earth 2 version.
And why not just tell the fucking stories? And if the book is meant to sell 6 issues, it's 6 issues. If it's got a great run, let it run for 36 issues.
Yeah.
Why pigeon? I think he said somewhere in there, fuck continuity. No, he didn't quite say it like that. But that was the gist.
Yeah.
I'd agree with it in this case.
They already screwed up continuity by starting the New 52.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe they realized I don't know. I wouldn't call it backpedaling, but and my interpretation of this could be totally wrong, and I swear to God, I hope it's not, and it probably is because I've been wrong so many other times. But that really seems a direction you're heading, and I swear if they do it, I will hug them all. But they won't let me hug them all. But I would.
It doesn't seem like that much doom and gloom, though. It doesn't seem... It's...
I mean, we could potentially see our Wally West flashback.
Yeah.
Along with another book that's got Barry in it.
Yeah.
It's... Oh, and I always said before, if they're not sure about running a Wally West book while running a Barry Allen book, and they could always put Wally West on digital books, and I would still buy it.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hope they do it. Maybe they'll listen to me one of these times.
One can hope.
So then, and then again, what Marvel's doing is cool, too. Like I said, they're going to take their bits and pieces. It really only sounds like Miles Morales is really going to come over into the new Marvel Universe. I mean, what else from the Ultimate Universe could they possibly save?
No, there's nothing worth saving.
Nothing besides Miles, which I really, I don't know if you read it. I like Miles a lot. I think he's a good Spider-Man.
I've read a couple things, but I think the entire Ultimate Universe took a crap, you know, wrote.
Yeah, like 10 years ago.
It's like Bendis was doing a great job on Ultimate Spider-Man. Millar was doing an insane, awesome job on fucking Ultimates.
Yeah.
And then fucking Jeb Loeb comes in and pretty much took a dump on everything that was created. And they haven't been able to bounce back since. That's how I really feel.
Well, I think part of it is how long has the Ultimate Universe been around? Since 2000?
Yeah.
So now it's been 15 years. They now have 15 years of continuity that they had to deal with. And that's the problem. That... when it was fresh, it was fresh. But now they have 15 years of story that time passes, these characters don't age, we age, but they still have to deal with continuity.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's just like, then they had, you know, the first event, Ultimatum. Fucking, you know, Magneto wipes out half the planet.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, and then there was, you know, Ultimates 3, which was just before that, which was just a total joke.
Yeah.
This is all Jeb Loeb stories.
Yeah.
Keep Loeb away from the fucking comics. He took a dump on the Ultimate Universe, which was a fresh take, a realistic take.
Yeah.
On Marvel superheroes.
The Ultimates and Ultimates 2, well, I don't know about so much Ultimates 2, but Ultimates was fucking awesome.
Yeah, Ultimates Parts 1 and 2, yeah. The first two by Hitch and Millar was fucking incredible.
Yeah, good stuff.
Really good stuff. And it's just... And, you know, Bendis' run with Peter Parker, it was just... My wife's a teacher, and she really appreciated the way the teenagers talked, because it was just like just how kids talk.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, a younger, you know, Aunt May and, you know, Uncle Ben was really cool. And you know,
yeah, I kind of dug that she was younger.
It was just, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Then, like I said, Loeb came in, first with Ultimates, you know, Ultimates 3, and took a dump on everything, and then with Ultimatum.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, even X-Men, the Ultimate X-Men wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. I didn't think it was their strongest title.
So, do you want to talk a bit about this Dan Buckley interview?
Oh, God.
Or are you going to save it for writing about it?
Here's a motherfucker I want to bitch slap.
Did you get any response for the show?
No.
Because Brian did contact Marvel to see if he would come on our show.
Yes.
But then again, we contact everybody to see if they'll come on the show, except for Grant Morrison.
Yes. Ignored.
He just sends our emails to trash.
God.
So, what about this interview, Brian?
I not looking to align the comics and the movies. Bullshit.
I was just going to say, I call bullshit.
Are we looking at the same properties?
I don't know.
There has been no proof of any... There is a spike... But there's been no addition of new readers.
But it still seems that the movie influenced the comics.
It really is. That's the problem.
I call it the curse of RDJ. You got him. And listen, I love Iron Man. I love Robert Downey Jr. He did a great job. But when people go into the stores, they expect to see Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man. Even, you know what, man? I'm not really proud to say this, but even I kind of do. Like, when I go and I see Guardians of the Galaxy and I go look at the book now, it's like, this doesn't look like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-mm.
But, you know.
It does the movie universe, and then let's talk about Hawkeye.
Yeah.
His fucking S&M suit. I'm sorry. Works on film. Doesn't work in the comics. Please keep his beautiful purple tunic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's had one of the coolest costumes in the longest fucking time.
And still doesn't... They didn't go back to that costume, did they?
No.
He was, for a while there, he was just in, like, a t-shirt and, like, military pants and chucks.
Oh, no, but that's in the Matt Fraction series.
Right. Yes, you got it. Right, exactly.
He's pretty much said this is Hawkeye in his off hours.
Right.
So that you really can't take that one, and that's just a beautifully written series.
Yeah.
But in the Avengers, he's wearing the fucking black S&M outfit.
Yeah.
Which, it just looks horrible.
Yeah.
With the fucking sunglasses.
I was just going to say, the purple sunglasses.
Oh my God. Put on the fucking costume that's iconic, please. Can't stand that look. I really... Oh, God.
But the movies don't influence the comics.
No, not at all.
Not at all, right?
Yeah, bullshit. Such lying sacks of crap.
Maybe they honestly think that the movies don't influence the comics.
Or maybe this guy just doesn't have a fucking clue what the left hand's doing when the right hand's doing something else.
Bingo. I think that's it.
It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Pissed me off when I read that, too.
It did, because you fired off that email right away. You said to me, I'm going to get this guy on the show. And I'm like, okay.
Still working on it.
And then you fired off an email. Like, wow, he's serious about this.
He's going to follow up, too. I don't give a fuck. I want this motherfucker on our show. He's got a lot to fucking answer for.
Listen, man, I'm right behind you. I am right behind you. You want to talk a little outer space?
Oh, can we?
So, let's talk about one of your favorite companies. We'll talk about Disney. I think we agree on this one, and I think you agree with what they did here, that George is making the rounds. George Lucas is making the rounds.
Yeah, it seems like Lucas is upset because, you know, it was all full of piss and vinegar and said, hey, here's some great ideas. And Disney was just like, yeah, thanks, George.
And before he turned around, they threw all the scripts in the trash.
Yeah.
Right in front of him.
And Lucas doesn't understand why. And I'm like, okay, George, did you see episode one? Does the name Jar Jar Binks mean anything to you?
Yeah, from what I read, he definitely had this script for seven done.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess some sort of outline-ish things for eight and nine that he, I guess, gave to Disney, and they just outright, I don't think they're using any of it. And
no.
I agree with it.
I don't see this as a bad thing.
I don't see this as a bad thing at all. Unless he's got a writer, somebody else writing with him, like Lawrence, what's his name, Kasdan writing, you know, editing his stuff, whatever he did, mm-hmm. when Empire Strikes Back, on his own. Look, I know it's his baby, and I'm sure it probably annoys the shit out of him that all his fanboys are so critical of his work. But he sold the property, it was the right thing to do. Just take your consultant role. And
yeah, take your money, leave.
Yeah, your quadrillions of dollars, and just laugh at the bank. Laugh to the bank at the rest of us.
Yeah, nobody gives a crap, George.
Yeah.
We all see you lost it.
I mean, I'm curious, did anybody say what the stories were about that he wrote? I didn't see any of that anywhere.
Nothing I can think of.
I would be curious, at some point in time, maybe after these movies come out, what he proposed. But it was the right move on Disney's part, I think, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't imagine too many Star Wars people being all that upset by it.
A lot of Star Wars fans I know felt, like, let down after the first three.
Yeah, but I agree. So I'm sure there's people that would be upset by this, but, right. I mean, the first three, I mean, come on.
They're jokes.
Yeah.
Jar Jar Binks. Then we got a young Anakin Skywalker who grows very fast, and yet the princess doesn't. And then he's very emo. And
Phantom Menace, I can tolerate. I have only seen the second one once, and that was the Midnight Show when it was released. I have not, because I did not like it at all.
My friend...
And the third one's okay.
The Phantom Menace was just like... I'm sorry, I found it so bad. And my friend got tickets, Premier Theater in New York City, where they have, you know, you buy tickets like you would for a theater show.
Yeah.
Of course, my wife and I end up, you know, going shorts, and everybody else is kind of a little dressed up and stuff, and I'm like, how the fuck did I know? Then I walked out of it, I was just like, glad I was comfortable to enjoy that piece of crap. And this is an old, it's like the seats were so fucking uncomfortable, and it was just like, okay, we couldn't have gone to a regular theater because...
Yeah.
God, it just sucked ass.
And besides that, it's been, I think it's over 15 years since Phantom Menace came out. Isn't that crazy?
God, makes me feel old.
Doesn't it? Crazy.
But that's not the only Star talk going on.
Oh, no. What's the other one? What's going on the other side of the...
No. Let's not knock it yet.
Okay.
With the new Star Trek film, we have Scotty, Simon Pegg, who's going to be helping co-write the new Star Trek film.
Haven't we gotten a director for that movie yet?
Roberto Osica.
Okay, so he is announced and he's still attached to it.
He's slated.
Okay.
In Hollywood terms, it's a definite maybe.
Yeah. And Simon Pegg is going to co-write, or
he's still playing Scotty, but he's going to co-write the script.
I like Simon Pegg. I don't have a problem with it.
Pegg is a fanboy.
Yeah.
Pegg is a huge fanboy. I think it's a good match here. I really think he'll do it justice.
My problem with Star Trek is that it belongs on TV.
Really?
I think so. I mean, they can have movies, but I think they need to have a show on TV.
Mm.
When you have a cast like that, I don't know. Next Generation, not so much the original cast, the original show.
Oh, I'm sorry here. I screwed up. It's going to be directed by Justin Lin.
Oh, okay.
Fast and Furious. Roberto Osigo. He was slated to direct.
Oh, and he left.
No, but he co-wrote the first two films.
Okay.
Peg has taken over scripting.
Okay.
With the help of TV writer Doug Jung.
Okay.
And Doug, what the hell did Doug write here? Doug wrote Dark Blue, Banshee, which is on Cinemax now.
Okay.
A couple episodes of Big Love, but, I'm taking that, I'm not getting upset or anything because, look at, Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Two writers from TV directly on this awesome show.
I don't have a problem with it. I would like to see, I don't have this problem with this universe they've created on for the movies. I dig it, but I would also like to see it on TV where they could go more in depth with the characters. I don't know if they want to go back to the original universe that they had on TV, but I would like to see it on TV.
Yeah, but I don't think this kick-ass type of way of doing it, that, this is my problem with the original Star Trek. It was too fucking passive.
But that's why I think you could have it on you could have the movies the way they are now, which, are definitely more fast-paced.
Yeah, that's what I like.
But also have it on TV and have it more story-based.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They told some really good stories in The Next Generation that I kind of miss.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch any of the post Next Generation shows. I never really got into it.
I was just like, you see an alien, you shoot it. You shoot first.
You shoot first. Han shoots first.
And our final piece of news for this week.
What's that?
It comes from the new Doctor Strange film. Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
Shitwell Adderfer.
Yeah. Good job on that name, bro.
Yeah, just fucked that up.
No, you did it good.
He is in early talks to play a role opposite Benedict Cumberbatch.
But nothing firm yet. No.
Nothing firm, but I could see him as Strange's archenemy, Baron Mordo.
Ooh, nice.
I've heard some people say Dormammu, but, I could see that too, but I could really see him more like hamming it up because he can really go big.
Yeah.
And I really feel like, Mordo could really go big too.
Yeah.
At least from the way I remember him in the comics.
Yeah.
So I think it would be – I'd rather see him as Mordo, but, I'm open. I think this is a great casting. Ignorant assholes out there, a black actor is going to be playing a white comic book character. Get over it.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Oh, my God. The guy's like one of the – 12 Years a Slave. Fucking amazing film.
Yeah.
And he's been good in so many other goddamn things he's been in.
Let me ask you something. How does Cumberbatch, how do you feel he plays Doctor Strange in this movie?
What do you mean?
Like, is he playing this straight? I guess he has to, because Strange really doesn't have much of a sense of humor.
No.
So I guess this is going to be like, in the Marvel movies, there's always an undercurrent of humor in it.
Not all of them.
So I guess he just plays it straight.
I think it's good casting.
No, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just curious the direction that they head with this one.
I don't know.
Because it's, like you said, magic.
Yeah.
Magic doesn't translate well.
Usually doesn't.
Except for Harry Potter, where they make umpteen movies.
It's funny because I was thinking about this today. I was before we started talking about it. As much as I can't wait to see him play, this movie and stuff.
Yeah.
I really feel that there's another guy that could have been good at this as well.
As Strange?
Not as Strange, but as his, you know, as the villain going up against him is Alfred Molina.
Oh, okay.
You ever see the film Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Yes.
Which had very little to do with that.
With the movie. With
yeah. Yes. But it's just, he played a good evil magician there, and I'm not knocking shit. Well, it's just, you know, I also, you know, if they would have gone with Albert Molino, I think he would have been great for Baron Mordo too.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, I'm open.
It's your fanboy dream.
It's my fanboy dream. What can I tell you?
Yeah, listen, we all have them.
I really am. It's gonna be interesting to see magic kind of introduced to this. Well, I guess Thor's magic, but
Yes. But this is different.
This is different, yeah.
It's definitely different.
Yeah, Thor's like gods and stuff.
Yeah. What's the release date on this?
There really isn't yet.
Not yet.
I'm not too sure when it's supposed to be the exact date. But I thought 2017 maybe?
Yeah.
Could be wrong. Yeah, it's no 2016.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, before we wrap up here, did you see what Paul, speaking of Marvel and all this other stuff, I was just thinking of Age of Ultron. Did you see what Paul Bettany said about Age of Ultron?
No.
He said something that this is like the biggest thing Marvel's ever done. Like, it's going to blow the roof off of Marvel. In storytelling.
I think he's being a little biased.
You think he's being a little over the top?
Yeah, I think there's comic books that are stronger than, you know, a 2-hour movie.
And I'm just telling you what he said. I'm going to send you the article. Oh, he says it's the biggest movie ever.
Well, I don't know. That's a pretty bold statement.
It's very bold.
Have you seen speaking of Age of Ultron, they released the Funko stuff?
I just saw a couple pictures.
For some reason, Vision is pink.
Really?
Pink and gray.
Do you think it's just the eye thing?
I don't know, to be honest with you. It was very weird. I'm looking at this like, really?
Are they production pictures?
No, it wasn't production. This was the toys.
No, but I mean, were they production pictures of the toys or were they actuals?
They were, you know, they were the production picture. They weren't like the actual. I mean, we'll find out at Toy Fair.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like weird that it was like pink.
Huh.
But it'll be interesting to see.
Weird. All right. You got anything else? What's your week looking like?
Well, my week just got shot to shit because of the snow, man.
Yeah, we did cover that at the beginning.
So I got nothing else going on other than prepping for Toy Fair and trying to get this mofo on from Marvel.
I hope that this weather passes for Toy Fair, man.
I'm telling you, man, it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Can't wait, but yes. A lot of work always.
Yep.
Could need sleep. We got a full day booked, I think, for Sunday.
Both days are full, man. They're going to be long days.
Yeah.
But Sunday is much more so. We're going to do a lot of running around. But at least it'll be all the Javits Center.
Yeah. I mean, it's Saturday is just like, we only got two companies, technically, to see.
Yeah, but they're long presentations.
Yeah.
Well, at least the Hasbro is.
The Hasbro one is, and then, you know. And then we got Sirius running around to do on Sunday.
Yep. Heads without chickens, or chickens without heads.
And that's, not just get scheduled stuff, but also try and get unscheduled stuff. But, you know, it's different. It's not a con. It's a little easier to get around.
Yes. No strollers.
No strollers, no kids, no cosplays.
Yep.
God. But it's always fun.
Yes, it is. Looking forward to it. A couple more weeks.
Yep.
And then we get to see all the toys that aren't going to be coming out until December.
Yep. And then people asking why this toy was there at Toy Fair and demand that the toy manufacturer make it.
Now. Yes. Hey, speaking of Age of Ultron, just to go back for a second, I forgot what I was going to say. I was at Target today, and I did see an Age of Ultron toy.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I did. It was the cap. I'm sure you've seen pictures of it. The cap on the motorcycle. So, Age of Ultron toys are out there.
Now, something to ask. Hasbro as to why they were released so early.
Yep.
Because I will. And then I'm going to ask about Fantastic Four stuff.
Oh, boy. I'll slowly walk away when you do.
Going to record that one, buddy. Going to record that one. We're going to have a straight answer. We're not going to have a straight answer. We're going to have a straight dodge.
Yes, exactly.
It's going to be recorded. On audio. Preserved for life. All right, sir.
All right, sir. Let's do a wrap-up. You can check me and Brian out on casterscorner.com.
Yes, sir.
And you can check out our podcast on fanboyfactor.com.
And catch up with past episodes on Stitcher and iTunes. You can download us and bring us along.
Subscribe. Because when you subscribe, you get us right away. There's no, hey, I wonder if they have a new episode out.
Nope. We pop just right up.
You got it. We load automatically.
Like a virus.
Like a virus. All right, Brian.
All right, sir.
Have a good week, man.
You too.
We'll talk to you later.